Why are we waiting?
What's that?
Why are we waiting?
City Council will come to order, coming back from recess. Carla, how was your lunch?
It was good, thank you.
Did you go to the farmer's market?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
You know, I heard a rumor that all the proper organic signs that should be up are now up.
Oh, I'll have to ask Commissioner Saltzman about that.
Yes. Can you please call the roll?
Saltzman? Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Adams?
Here. For the record show, Commissioner Saltzman has joined us. Can you please read the resolution, item number 930?
Authorize the Chief Administrative Officer to negotiate an operating agreement for the Veterans Memorial Coliseum with the Portland Development Commission and to develop a separate agreement formalizing PDC's lead role in the redevelopment of the Rose Quarter.
Thank you. The Veterans Memorial Coliseum is in terrible shape. Uncertainty about the future of the VMC has led to years of disinvestment and deterioration of the building systems. This community clearly stated a desire to retain the building, and local architects were successful in listing the building on the National Register. This council unanimously decided to save the Veterans Memorial Coliseum from demolition. Given the scope of the building's needs, private investment in the facility is absolutely critical for the project to succeed. Without it, Veterans Memorial Coliseum would most likely have to be shuttered indefinitely. The Office of Management and Finance and the Portland Development Commission, along with private parties, have been working overtime to complete this deal. However, as a condition of providing $10 million for the renovation, the Portland Winterhawks has requested the right to play in the Veterans Memorial Coliseum for 20 years. Without it, this deal falls apart, and liability for the Veterans Memorial Coliseum will be on the shoulders of the city's general fund through the Spectators Fund. This proposal enables the City of Portland to finalize the $31.5 million redevelopment deal to save and bring up to basic standards Veterans Memorial Coliseum. It is an agreement between the Portland Development Commission that will invest $17.1 million in tax increment resources, the Portland Winterhawks that would invest $10 million in private resources, the Office of Management and Finance on a loan from PDC to the Office of Management and Finance, $4.4 million, and PAM, Portland Arena Management, which is providing the project and construction management cost at no charge. By accepting this deal, we are moving the ball forward not only on the development of the development agreement, but by ensuring that the Rose Quarter will be redeveloped by granting Portland Development Commission the development right previously held by Portland Arena Management and ultimately transferring the land owned by the city to the district. This will give the city the certainty, it will give the Portland Development Commission the financial backstop, and the Rose Quarter will be developed in the near future. We'll act, and then I should also add that the Rose Quarter and the North Northeast Quadrant plans that will guide that redevelopment come to City Council in the next 45 days. So with that, I'd like to please welcome the Chief Administrative Officer for the City of Portland, Jack Graham, and the Chair of the Portland Development Commission, Scott Andrews, and Betsy Ames, who is got a brand new title, and I can't remember it.
Senior Policy Analyst, Office of Management and Finance.
Senior Policy Analyst. And Kevin Brake, who is the Project Manager for the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and the Rose Quarter, on behalf of PDC. Mr. Chief Administrator.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Jack Graham, Chief Administrator Officer. I'm here today to seek your approval to negotiate an operating agreement with Portland Development Commission, PDC, regarding the management of the VMC, Veteran Memorial Coliseum. I'm also seeking your approval to develop an agreement that would formalize PDC's lead role in the redevelopment of the Rhodes Quarter. The operating agreement that we are requesting your approval today to negotiate would be activated in the event that Portland Arena Management, PAM, does not choose to exercise their option to manage the VMC in 2023. As you know, the city, PDC, and PAM, along with the Winterhawks, have been negotiating a redevelopment agreement regarding the renovation of the VMC. PAM operates the VMC under an operating agreement with the city, and with the approval and finalization of this redevelopment agreement, it will be extended for another 5 or 10 years. We've made some really good progress in resolving all the various deal points as it relates to the redevelopment agreement. All the parties, I really believe, are working very hard to ensure the redevelopment goals are met, while at the same time ensuring that the risk to the city does not increase. However, there's a couple of issues that has not been resolved, one of which is a very critical issue. It relates to the Winterhawks. As a condition of providing the $10 million to the renovation project, they're requesting the rights to play within the VMC for 20 years under a license agreement. Due to the fact that we cannot be certain that PAM will actually renew the operating agreement that is currently in place beyond 2018, and the fact that the ground lease that PAM currently have is scheduled to expire in 2025, I do not feel that it would be prudent for us to agree to a 20-year license with the Hawks, since it would increase the risk to the spectators fund and thereby increase the risk to the general fund. In order to assure the Winter Hawks that they will be able to play in the VMC for the next 20 years, PDC has agreed to assume the responsibility for operation of the VMC in the event that PAM does not elect to operate the VMC beyond 2023. To accommodate this request from the Hawks for this 20-year license, the city and PDC will need to negotiate an operating agreement for PDC to operate the VMC for the second 10 years of the 20-year license. The operating agreement to be negotiated between PDC and the city will be based substantially on the existing agreement that we have with PAM, along with the negotiated term sheet that I believe that you have in front of you today. The operating agreement will also incorporate any language that the City Council will require to go into that agreement. In addition to the operating agreement, OMF also seeks council approval to develop a separate agreement with PDC regarding the redevelopment of the Rhodes Quarters. OMF recognized that PDC is the city's lead in development within the city. We believe that it is appropriate to formalize PDC's role as lead in the redevelopment of the Rhodes Quarter. With council approval, we will develop an agreement with PDC based upon the development rights that were previously held by PAM. Once this agreement is developed, we will present it to council for your approval. I just want council to know that it is my belief that by finalizing these two agreements, that it will further facilitate the redevelopment of the VMC and also the Rhodes Quarter. That ends my first brief round of comments, and I'm going to turn it over to Chair Scott from PDC to make some additional comments regarding these two proposed agreements.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm just going to make a couple of quick comments. We're going to turn it over to staff to give you an overview of the deal points that you're approving today. I would remind you that what you are approving is not the final agreement, that the final agreement will have to come back to you for approval. This just basically sets forth the deal parameters, the financial parameters that will go into a revised operating agreement that's being drafted today. As previously stated, the terms of this conditional agreement provide both certainty to the Portland Winterhawks that they would have the ability to play for the next 20 years, and it also caps the risk to the city with regard to general fund in terms of maintaining the building over the next 10 to 20 years. I've invested over 2 years and literally hundreds of hours in this project for two reasons. I truly believe that we have not seen development in the Rose Quarter and will not see development in the Rose Quarter until the big question mark is taken off the side of Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And that question mark can't be just repairing it. If we don't actually increase its acceptability to new tenants and events, we are not going to incent the kind of development that we all want to see. And we know that there are people who are interested, and they're waiting in the wings to see that we do this job correctly. And the second, again, was that the risk to the spectator fund. I mean, recognize that the building is 50 years old, and much of, I would say, all of the systems are on the edge of failing. I'm really comfortable with this deal that you see in front of you. I think that it's a classic business relationship where OMF has transferred some of the risk of the operation to PDC in return for PDC getting all of the upside. I think that this is going to work fine. I have convinced my board of that. They passed a similar resolution to this a week ago. But I'm not here because I want to make a lot of money off of operating the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. I am here because this was the only path that we could see to get this job done. I don't expect PDC to actually operate it. I expect that PDC will hire national, international organizations with the expertise and the contacts to bring in the events to make this happen. What we will be, though, is responsible for it. So we would be overseeing it, and we would be responsible for the financial terms that you see, but we would have an agreement with a third party to actually operate it if PAM decided that they wouldn't exercise their option. We expect to fund the operation, obviously, without TIF. The operations are not TIF eligible. It wouldn't be legal. We'd expect the revenues from operating the Veterans Memorial Coliseum to be the first backstop. But then, of course, the value of the development rights would create an additional cushion in case things didn't go correctly or the way that we would like them to go. I've heard a couple of concerns that I want to address before we turn it over to you guys for questions, but I think this would be a good time for me to turn it over and have staff give you the overview.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, Betsy Ames with Office of Management and Finance. The resolution before you today authorizes the CAO to negotiate the operating agreement with PDC as described. It directs the PDC Executive Director to provide City Council with some additional information about the funding sources and legality of their operation of the facility, and it authorizes the CAO to work with PDC on the separate agreement formalizing PDC's lead role in redevelopment of the Rose Quarter. The slide in front of you now shows both the proposed operating agreement with the Portland Arena Management, its proposed and current on the left, and then the future operating agreement with PDC to show some of the differences, some of the key provisions and key differences. The Portland Arena Management currently operates the VMC under an operating agreement with the city. We are amending that operating agreement with the redevelopment agreement. We also are developing a revenue sharing agreement with Portland Winterhawks to share some of the upside with them in terms of revenues from their games, other events at the VMC, and any profits that are made there. Currently, in the proposed amendment and in the existing agreement, the city and PAM are both agreeing to $250,000 a year of investments into the building for capital improvements and repair and maintenance. Under the proposed agreement with PDC, this will continue. The city's contribution will be increased to $375,000 at that point, and PDC will assume the $250,000 a year obligation from PAM. Currently, PAM covers all operating losses. They're able to do this as part of a campus agreement because they're operating the Rose Garden at the same time. We have negotiated with PDC that the city would cover from the Spectator Facilities Fund up to $375,000 a year in operating losses. PDC would be responsible for any operating losses above that amount. This limits the city's liability for operations. The revenue sharing agreement on the left-hand side, when there are profits at the building, operating profits, the current agreement provides 40% to the operator, in this case PAM, provides 40% to the city for general purposes, and 20% goes into a capital improvements account. The revenue sharing agreement is splitting the city's general purposes so that 20% of those profits come to the city, 20% will go to the Winterhawks. Under the future operating agreement with PDC, the Winterhawks share would go to PDC, and PDC as the operator would get the 40% that is currently going to going to PAM. There are a couple of additional changes that we've noted on the right-hand side. There are some potential changes in the revenues that the city might gain from reducing the number of events in the building if PDC found that only hosting Winterhawks events would make the most sense. And I understand that there's going to be some conversation about that. So turn it over to.
Great. I'm Kevin Brake, Senior Project Manager with the Portland Development Commission. Some of the terms negotiated within the term sheet are really with an eye towards risk mitigation for both the city and PDC. The slide in front of you represents some of the higher level risk mitigation tactics that are being considered. We're looking at ways for PDC to reduce potential losses by an ability to terminate the agreement if the Winterhawks cease to use the building, an ability to operate the building for only Winterhawks games and select community events if that seems to be the most economically viable option. PDC would also assume the terms of the Winterhawks sharing, revenue sharing agreement, as Betsy noted, after 2023. So that's an ability to really get back some of the upside that has been negotiated as part of the redevelopment agreement moving forward. Part of the city's risk mitigation is the cap of $375,000 towards potential annual losses. Above that, PDC covers any losses above $375,000. Moving on, the redevelopment agreement is an agreement that is going to be coming to you in early fall. We can call it the RDA. The RDA is a very complex document with up to 13 related agreements that feed into that. So it's been a very complex negotiation in that if something changes, it really creates a lot of follow-on effects in other related agreements. This, by all accounts, this operating agreement is truly one of the last issues to be resolved related to the redevelopment agreement. Some of the terms of that have been mentioned, but it's worth mentioning again that Portland Arena Management is assuming the role of construction project manager at no cost to the project, which is actually a very significant contribution both monetarily and otherwise. The Portland Winterhawks investment has already been noted at $10 million. PDC's investment at $17.1 million. It's a grant from PDC to the city. And then the city is also taking on, OMF is taking on a $4.4 million loan supported by the Spectators Facility Fund. Currently, work is underway that is precursor to the redevelopment agreement, that is work on the ice floor and some other prep work for the full closure for the 2012 season.
So if I could ask about that. So the three entities that will invest, PDC, Winterhawks, City, PDC, $17.1 million, the Winterhawks, $10 million, City, $4.4 million. So that's a $31.5 million amount that will be used to do renovation work. But we discussed what it would actually cost to do the work that probably should be done and needs to be done. And was that cost not over $50 million?
I mean, I can do
yes.
that.
So we're still shy some 20 plus million dollars to do what actually should and needs to be done to bring the building up to the kind of what I would call impact that the Geldwin Stadium underwent when it was renovated for the Corporate Timbers.
I let me respond a little bit to this. The $50 million plus was a consultant's report that kind of looked at maybe a perfect world situation if you really wanted to make it the best that it possibly could be. What we have learned by going through this process and with Pam and the Winterhawks at the table, which are the operator and the user, is that within this $31.5 million project, about $24 million is repair and maintenance, and there's about $7 million worth of what I call fan enhancement and upgrades. And we're all worried that we're on the edge of a project that isn't going to be as good as we want to, but we think we can get there. There is no question, you know, if we had another $2 or $3 million, the things that we would be adding back would be the things that you would really notice and would probably do more to bring more revenue to the table. But we have been, you know, honest from the beginning that we were going to live within the means that we had available to us. And actually, this $31.5 million includes kind of an innovative loan that PDC is making to the Spectator Fund that doesn't put any pressure on the Spectator Fund for the time period that it's under strain. So I think through this process, Commissioner, I think we're going to get a building that we're going to be proud of. Could it be better? Certainly.
So what would be some of the things we could buy for another $2 or $3 million?
One that I talk about, there is a curtain system that could go into it so that you could turn what will be about an 8,800 seat facility into a 4,400 foot facility. And that's important because there are a bunch of events that it's a much better venue for, and you don't want a venue that looks half empty, and it works better. My favorite, quite frankly, is what most people don't know that the structure of Memorial Coliseum is wood. It's glue lambs. And they were painted a silver metal color sometime way so far back that nobody even remembers that they're made out of wood. And I have this fantasy, frankly, of spending the $800,000 necessary to strip all those glue lambs and imagine walking into the Memorial Coliseum at night from the outside and seeing this incredible bowl structure held up by these beautiful wood beams. There's other things interior-wise that would be just make the building much, much more efficient in terms of operations, in terms of food service, those sorts of things. I could bring someone else up to give you some more detail, but those are the kind of
things. The only reason I ask is because I do think that those kinds of things could translate into more revenue as the fan experience becomes more positive, you know, and, you know, for want of a better term, we're stuck with it. And so we need to make the best of it. And to the extent we could incrementally improve the experience by investing more dollars, maybe future councils, if we had a list of what we could buy, could look at that list. And as the economy improves and as we possibly realize extra one-time revenues, I think the two things that you identified are things that make a lot of sense to do. And I think we should not have people think that for $31.5 million we've renovated the Memorial Coliseum. We've done the kinds of things to make it habitable and capable of being used for the purposes of the Winterhawks, but that for these extra amounts, we have a sheet readily available to show future councils, you know, for this much money, we can do this like your idea about concerts, for example, makes perfect sense. I mean, we may end up getting more concerts as a result of that and paid that kind of investment back as a result of doing that kind of work.
Commissioner, one of the things I wanted to mention is that what we are doing is we're getting past this project, and in the process, we are actually looking at that list of items that would be one that would enhance one that would be preventative in nature to actually keep the stability of the facility in place and look forward. So we are looking at that, and we're going to be using the board report starting to help prioritize some of those things. But the chair has stated some of the things that need to be done, but that is what we're actually working towards, and we will have that list.
Mayor Adams? In my briefings with OMF and with PDC, we've talked a lot about the risk assessment. And Scott, you mentioned the legal opinion on whether PDC can assume some of these responsibilities, and you also mentioned the financial analysis. It was my hope that we would have that before we took this up today. It's referenced in the resolution, and I think that's an important piece for us to make a judgment about risk. Where do we stand with both of those documents, and when would you anticipate getting them to us?
I actually think there's three that you should find really important. One is the legal opinion that we hired an outside counsel to make sure that PDC can legally operate the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. I have been informed that we should get that letter within the next week and that we can legally, but as you can imagine, being a government entity, there are certain things that we have to do to be able to do that. And so the letter not only is going to tell us that we can, but it's going to tell us how we can, how we structure things so that we make sure that we don't get in the way of the law. The second piece was a letter that talks about the resources. Frankly, we thought we'd deliver that at the same time, but basically it just reiterates what we have said today, which is non-TIF resources, revenues from the Memorial Coliseum first, backstopped by the value of the development rights, and there are other, you know, within our budget, there are other non-TIF resources that people would be able to look out to in the future. The last piece, which I also promised my commission that we would have, is a financial analysis. We have a 10-year we have 10 years worth of financials as to what's happened in the past. We have Winterhawk's projections. We don't have anybody with the financial expertise to turn that into a 10-year projection. So we have we'll have a consultant who's already familiar with the financials at the building and very familiar with the building itself that is going to turn that into a report for you and for my commission that will show what kind of revenues it could generate, what kind of how bad it might get if it gets bad, and then finally, at the baseline, what would it cost if we had to mothball it or run it just for the Winterhawks?
Okay, so I mean, those are documents where the council is going to want to review with you in some detail. One of the challenges here is we're looking out 10 years and we're trying to make some assumptions about what happens. Does Pam stay in the game? Are the Winterhawks still operating? Have the investments we've made in Memorial Coliseum given us the opportunity to, as Commissioner Leonard suggests, use it for a broader array of purposes, which then in turn generate revenue? One way of looking at that, though, is to look at Pam's track record in turning a profit over the past few years. And my understanding is they haven't. So if that's true, why do we believe that PDC operation can ultimately produce more revenue?
Well, I've learned a lot about the Veterans Memorial Coliseum in the last couple of years, and I think there are several reasons, but the most basic is in the last fiscal year, the Veterans Memorial Coliseum lost, I think, about $165,000. And it is in the worst condition that it's been in 50 years. And we are in a very poor economic environment. If I didn't think that we could invest $31 million worth of the public's money in the building and couldn't make it generate, you know, break even or generate a profit to begin with, I wouldn't sit in front of you and say, let's do that. Well, $21 million worth of public and $10 million worth of private money. But if PAM doesn't operate it, the operator will be able to compete with the Rose Garden for events, which it doesn't do at this point directly. The Winterhawks have agreed that if we asked, they would play all of their games in the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. They currently play about 10 a year in the Memorial Rose Garden, and they play most of their playoff games there as well. And I'm not even suggesting that whoever did it in 10 years would require that. That might not be the best thing to do, but at least you have that ability if you need to from a financial basis. So I've actually very quietly checked with folks who are in this business and familiar with VMC, and they were very encouraging that under those kind of scenarios, a truly renovated, not just repaired, Veterans Memorial Coliseum, that the building will do fine.
And just to add to that is the experience of PAM when it was being run by the receiver, by TA Craft directly. There are a number of competing national promoters, so the opportunity for real competition. I would be surprised if in 10 years whoever owns PAM is going to want a competitor right next door, but if they do, I'm convinced that for the reasons that the chair said, that PDC will be able to make a go of it. On top of that is giving them the redevelopment rights around the district, which allows them to be entrepreneurial. And that is a mention to some of you in our one-on-one briefings. For example, the City of New York, their equivalent of the Portland Development Commission, is very much sort of in the redevelopment entrepreneurial business, and it is how they sustain themselves, part of how they sustain themselves as a redevelopment agency.
Two more questions, if I could. Thank you, Mayor.
One final tiny piece to that, too. There's also expected, and we don't have it pinned down yet, there'll be huge savings in energy costs. You're talking about 50-year-old systems, and you can imagine the efficiency of new systems and control systems, and we're talking in more than $100,000 a year, well more.
I have two other questions, if I could, and I really appreciate the time you've spent explaining this stuff to me, because I'm trying to get to a point of comfort. There is implicit in this handoff from the city to PDC, there's the notion that we're somehow insulating the general fund from exposure years 10 going forward. And I guess that's right, as long as PDC has the resources, which you've alluded to being the developer of the area, you could potentially monetize the development rights. And we obviously look to the Spectator Facilities Fund as a backstop. But could you talk a little bit about the contingent risk to the general fund, even with PDC in the lead? And could you also tell us what are some of the circumstances that could happen to the Spectator Facilities Fund that could put us at greater risk, since we depend on having the Blazers and we depend on having MLS and other things and parking to fund that? What are those risk factors, if you could just identify them for us?
Well, I'll let Jack discuss the Spectator Fund piece, and maybe I'll try to answer the second piece.
Well, the risk to the Spectators Fund would be basically if for some reason PDC in the agreement was not too able to perform and the facility was to close down, then there would be an impact from that standpoint. A lot of it is contingent upon the performance of PDC when they take it over in the second 10 years. The risks were substantially great if we had went to a 20-year license on this agreement with the Winterhawks, and that's one of the reasons why PDC stepped in. So the risk that would flow to the Spectators Fund would be contingent upon the performance of PDC and their ability to generate the revenues and the cover losses, et cetera.
But there's also, if I could, for the general fund, there's also a risk to the general fund of not moving forward with the proposal that we brought to the table.
Yeah, absolutely, Mayor. The risk is first to the Spectators Fund. Once the Spectators Fund is in jeopardy, it is backstopped by the general fund. So there has to be.
But excuse me, But the risk is we have this building now with major maintenance backlogs. Mm-hmm. We're bringing $30-some million to the table from outside funding. So for $4.4 million loan, which so the $4.4 million to this that's being paid for by the Spectators Fund, we're leveraging $30-some million in other funding. And so we could close it down now. We could tear it down. All of those have risk to the general fund as well.
Absolutely.
I know that wasn't quite your question, but I wanted to ask that version of it as well.
Pat, did you want to add something?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, you know, this agreement doesn't actually change the risk to the city to operate VMC in 10 years. I mean, the economy will be what it is. The team will either be there or it won't. The only factor that this does and why it makes OMF comfortable is it shifts some of the risk over to PDC in terms of losses and also shifts the reward that goes along with it at the same time. So to the extent that PDC would not be using city general funds to do this, it would be using PDC funds. So if there were losses beyond the 375, that would be a savings to the Spectator Fund or general fund.
In fairness, though, we are increasingly funneling general fund dollars to PDC to cover citywide economic development. So in that sense, those dollars could be at risk.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think that we have never redirected general fund dollars that come from the city always come with a directive as to where they're spent.
The last question I wanted to ask you, Scott, has to do with the community uses of Memorial Coliseum, separate and apart from hockey. So, I mean, I went to my daughter's graduation there. There's sporting events like, you know, youth dance and all kinds of things that go
Plus
on.
Plus, it's an architectural marvel. Don't forget that.
You know, we finally wore him down, and he now sees it the way the majority of the council sees it. But the question is, in the first 10 years and the second 10 years, how will these agreements impact community uses?
Let me say I've heard the concern also from Commissioner Fritz, and we've discussed it. Frankly, it was stated that way just, again, to be a risk mitigation factor in terms of what operating losses could be. But we recognize that the events are important both to the community as well as to members of the council, and we don't have a problem with amending it to put whatever ones that you really think are important back into the agreement. So we can move on there. In addition, there was also a concern about the naming rights for the building itself. And frankly, we never thought that the naming of Veterans Memorial Coliseum wouldn't happen without the complete support of City Council and getting through a public process. And so we're willing, with regard to the rights to the building itself, we're willing to take that out of the agreement.
Thanks for now.
But those were my two of my requests. Commissioner Fish, thank you for bringing them up. I would like to see, when the agreement comes back to us, specifications that for educational graduations and the Rose Festival in particular, that those events would continue to happen without additional charges. And the naming rights, the council has voted that the name of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum is the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and I would hate to have it be any kind of commercial name in addition to that. So I'd like to see that coming back. I'm also wondering if we could amend it to allow, to put a clause in the agreement that allows the council to renegotiate the development agreement with enough time, knowing that future councils, we've got 10 years before the development agreement part kicks in, and that a future council may wish to make some amendments to this agreement.
No, I think the development agreements would go in effect immediately. The Blazers development rights expired last year, so there are no competing rights for it. We would have the capability of getting them and moving forward immediately.
And what's the value of the development rights?
It's hard to say. I think, you know, they don't put an assessed value on top of publicly owned land, but I mean, I've looked at it and I would guess that the value of the underlying land is in $10 to $20 million. The development rights themselves, it would depend on what was developed there and to the extent, but it would be worth far more than what we're talking about with regard to potential losses.
And part of, so there's two pieces to the resolution today. There's the Portland Development Commission becoming a sports facility operator in 10 years if Portland Arena Management decides not to renew its contract. And then there's the piece about the Portland Development Commission taking the lead role in the development of the Rose Quarter now. And I'm wondering, this is, seems to be a really opportune time to be thinking about how is the Portland Development Commission going to operate and be funded in the future. And this is a potential way for moving past tax increment financing. Is that part of what you're thinking also?
Well, you've seen the presentation in terms of the future revenues from TIF and our thoughts with regard to doing things as best practices have showed us in other cities. And I think one of the things we came to the conclusion was is we needed to think more entrepreneurially. We needed to think instead of just selling things, keeping an interest in them, charging for our services in cases. So yes, and honestly, when I first thought about us stepping into this role as an operator, I thought it would be kind of an interesting test for us to see how both my staff and my board and city council took a look at it, because I think it is a path that we're going to really have to look at in the future to keep a healthy economic development agency alive in the city of Portland.
So knowing that the Spectator Fund is already very stressed because of the amount of funding that went into it, from it into Jeldwen Field, why are we putting the $375,000 of potential city money annually to backstop the Portland Development Commission being able to manage it at a profit?
One of the reasons why we're doing this here is because when you look at the total package together, it is going to help facilitate the redevelopment of the VMC. We actually, and correct me if I'm wrong on this here, Betsy, is we currently put up, I think, $250,000, I think, for losses under the agreement with PAM. Cover those?
No, we're not covering any losses with PAM.
Okay. However, under this current agreement that we have, we're proposing here today, there is an ability for us to leverage, once again, the $10 million investment with the Winterhawks. I think that this whole agreement with PDC looking forward, it's going to reduce the risk on the general fund accurately in terms of the fact that we would not be able to go out and to actually find a vendor to actually or operator to operate this facility. They could have a drag on the Spectators Fund anywhere from $1.5 to $2 million. The agreement with PDC is a mitigating point. So when you look at the potential of $1.5 or $2 million of having to go out and get another operator, the $375,000 in potential losses. Right now, if PDC is effective and can bring in the events that they would have, we shouldn't see those types of losses. And so we are going on PDC's analysis that they have looked at, as the chair has said, they've looked at different national organizations who have given them advice on their ability to actually run this type of facility or getting someone to come in and do it. So, you know, there are some risks involved, but when you look at the risk of not doing anything at all, I think those, are much greater than going with an agreement with PDC. And also the fact that we're at a critical path in our negotiations, and the potential for this whole deal falling apart, I think, is very great.
Thank you. I would like to see the final agreement similar to the one in Geldwin Field so that we roll over future profits to cover the losses from previous years the same way that we do at Geldwin. That would seem to be reasonable. At this point, it seems like the losses part is all on the city, but then when we make it up, the benefits don't come back. And then my final question is, what available funds does the Portland Development Commission have to cover any operating losses over the $375,000?
Well, as I said, we'll have a formal letter stating that, but first from operating, second from value of development rights, third from other sources of revenue. You know, PDC's been around for 50 years. There are lots of places, lots of non-TIF sources. They're not huge, but this would give us the time to step back, see how it's operating, make sure that we have the resources available in advance. We have a minimum of 5 years to figure that out.
And that'll all be spelled out before the final agreement comes back
Yes, we'll have a letter for you from kind of stating that.
We've said it before and you're adding on to that answer, but just to connect the dots is, at a minimum, you have the value of the land of the Rose Quarter. Mm-hmm. Even if there wasn't a spick of additional development on it, there's still the value of the land, and you're highly incented to use that land in as entrepreneurial way, consistent with the forthcoming district plans that'll be coming to City Council. So there's incentive on all sides for this to succeed, which frankly, up to this point, the Rose Quarter hasn't had it, in addition to the big question mark of, you know, whether Memorial Coliseum should be, you know, is going to be in the district or out of the district. In terms of parking revenues, those garages, we can add to those garages, and as is envisioned on this, does that that revenue continues to flow through the spectators fund, correct?
Absolutely.
So there's incentive on all sides, on both sides, to really make this work in an active way. It's entrepreneurial.
Just one, I'm sorry, as you're talking, something else occurred to me. Could there be a clause saying that at when the second part would kick in after 10 years that the council would have review it again?
Well, I don't think it works. And we have been able to work out a deal with Jack that provides with OMF that provides the city with some guarantees in terms of the risk and some upside for PDC. I have to be careful that I don't set it up so that the only case that PDC takes it over is it's a loser. So what we're doing is this is not an option on my part. If Pam and on PDC's part, if Pam doesn't exercise their option, we will become the operator under these terms. And if there's an opportunity for somebody else to take a look at it and say, in 10 years and say, oh, you know, this is doing well, like Mr. Andrews said it was going to do, and that's why we're willing to take on the risk, that we won't go forward with it. That doesn't work. That means that we take on all the risk and don't have any upside.
I tried to get him to do that, but he wouldn't.
Commissioner Saltzman?
Yeah. So, Jack, you were just saying that PDC has done some studies about the types of uses of the Coliseum and types of operators. And
yeah, I was referring to the statements that the chair made here.
We haven't done any formal. No, I did a little.
Yeah, maybe it'll self-survey. Have you seen that survey?
No.
Okay, is there a reason why we can't?
They haven't done, what I may have misspoke on that. I was referring to the comments that he said they have done some talking and I guess it's some checking around to see what other facilities were.
I just picked up the phone and talked to some principals and said, you know, if you can give me some advice, I'd appreciate it. If you can't, I understand. Asked some basic questions about Coliseum operations and event planning and was given some pretty positive feedback about people who are in the business in terms of the ability for it to be successful.
So the legal memo about non-tax increment sources being used to cover a future operational loss, do those non-tax increment sources have to only come from the Oregon Convention Center urban renewal area, or could those come from anywhere within the realm of PDC?
They could come from anywhere. Okay. Not if they're once they're not TIF, they are not bound by a district.
So we don't need a legal opinion for that answer. That's pretty much
so.
The answer.
Yes.
Okay. So the legal opinion then revolves around whether PDC has the legal authority.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Whether we could legally, under our charter, operate a facility, that facility.
And you sought an outside, independent opinion on that.
Yes.
That's what we're going to get.
So when you...
we have Eric is here.
This is from our charter.
I mean, I'll accept you need a legal opinion if you need a legal
opinion. Okay, yeah, that's fine. There's an outside, okay. Outside independent okay. Party that...
What's the name of the firm, Jack?
Oric. The Oric firm.
So there's a lot of talk about the value of development rights. I want to make clear, we're talking about the development rights associated with real property other than the Coliseum property itself. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the real property of the Coliseum remains... a city asset.
That's correct.
And I'm just curious, you sort of started out in your opening remarks talking about how you have this sense of optimism that there is some demand for development rights there. And I guess, we've watched other efforts fall short in that regard. And, I know from, going back to Vera Katz's days, that's the Rose Court has been a tough nut to crack in terms of redevelopment. And, we've seen as Kachina is as much a testimony, we've seen things fail that maybe shouldn't. If you look at them on paper, you think, wow, a restaurant right outside the Rose Garden, that should be a big success, but it wasn't.
I'm just curious.
I'm just asking personally, where's your sense of optimism coming from?
Well, there are several reasons for optimism. One, again, there were years where there was the question mark as to what's going to happen with the Memorial Coliseum kept happening. We looked at it for a baseball stadium. It's been looked at different things. And nobody is going to be able to get their head around an office development or retail development or, what am I going to put here if I don't know is going to be in the center of this district. I think that really helps. We are down to two or three sites of any real magnitude in close in downtown to build on, post office, Conway, and the Rose Quarter. And if we could get a convention center hotel going, which we're working hard on, the district becomes even more exciting. So I think the economy, PDC's ability to move forward, the planning effort that's taken place, the renovation, will tee us up to get something done there.
And you mentioned...
If I could just add two other observations, having worked on this plot of ground for a long time, is a previous city council passed a district plan that had one plan with and one plan without the Rose Quarter, the Veterans Memorial Coliseum in the Rose Quarter, and they were significantly different plans with significantly different sort of risk and a different value proposition. So that uncertainty, I just wanted to underscore that uncertainty was really significant. The other problem, looking back, having been part of it, which I'm trying to correct now, is it is not a core responsibility or core expertise of OMF for redevelopment. It also is not a core expertise of the Blazers. So I think the proposal for City Council to put the responsibility in an entrepreneurial way on PDC is a vast improvement over what we've done in the past.
And so you mentioned some figure development rights worth potentially millions and millions. So how do you, with those resources, if you sell the development rights, are those non-TIF resources that could directly be applied towards operating costs?
Yes,
they are.
Yes, okay.
Because even in the most hard-nosed case, this land was not. This land is general fund land, being turned over to PDC.
And then I just noticed in the slide Betsy was showing, there was talk about the Winterhawks profit sharing. And I couldn't quite follow because I didn't see the Winterhawks listed on that right-hand column of the new graph. So where is their profit sharing possibility?
The revenue sharing agreement for the next 10 years has the Winterhawks getting a certain portion of revenues at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum above a baseline that we've set.
Okay.
Following the first 10-year period, the Hawks' share of that would then go to PDC instead of to the Winterhawks. So following 2023, the only revenues that the Winterhawks would be getting would be whatever they negotiate as part of their license agreement for playing in the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, advertising and things like that.
And then, Scott, you mentioned that it might be prudent and the Winterhawks would be willing to play all their games in the Coliseum. I mean, that strikes me as something that would be prudent to ask right now.
No, they have agreed. They have agreed.
Oh, they have agreed to play all their games.
Yes, they have agreed.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yes.
Great.
Didn't make Pam happy. But they wouldn't be operating it at the point any at that point anyway. So,
and then my I guess my last question: what is the form of the commitment of the Winterhawks for $10 million? What will
right now the for the $10 million? If we are able to get a 20-year actually 20 years, what they're saying for $10 million, we would give them they would get 20 years rights to play in the VMC. And as I previously stated, for the city to take on that, that's too great of a risk, and that's why we're here today with the agreement with PDC to actually step in for the second 10 years of that 20-year agreement. So they are, you know, leveraging their $10 million for the 20 years. So they get out of it the 20-year along with the revenue sharing agreements with the city for the first 10 years, and then they would have to, as Betsy has said, have to negotiate any revenue agreements with PDC after that second.
Does their share of the $10 million pay over 20 years?
No.
That's
what I'm trying to figure out. When everything goes according to the plan, when do we get a $10 million?
The plan on the table now is that they would pay $2.5 million upon signing the redevelopment agreement. When we got to 25% construction, they would put up another $2.5 million. When they got to 50%, they put up another $2.5 million. So they'd always be well ahead of the draws.
Okay.
And in the form, it's actually part of the redevelopment agreement. They would be signing the redevelopment agreement, and the legal pledge is part of that.
And an initial $2.5 million come in at the time of signing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay, thanks.
All right. Is there anyone here that wishes to testify?
No one signed up.
Carla, unless there's additional discussion questions, Carla, can you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Well, I want to appreciate the work of everybody here from Mayor's Office, PDC, OMF. I think it's, I take to heart what Jack Graham said, that we're at a, and I'm sure probably Scott agrees, we are at a pivotal point here with respect to the future of the Coliseum. And indeed, as has been shown by past efforts, the Coliseum does hold sway for the future of development rights of in and around the Rose Corridor. So I think while there is a risk here, and I would reserve my final right until I see all the details worked out and presented to us, but I do think as it stands right now, this is a good sharing of the risk, although it's apportioning most of the risk to PDC beyond 2013. But I'm so confident in their leadership and their elected, I should say their appointed board, that I know that this is, in many ways, as Chair Andrews said, it's a good test for how entrepreneurial this Economic Development Agency can prove itself to be. And I think it's it'll be a good test, and at this point, I think it's a risk worth taking. So happy to bless further negotiations until we see all the hard brass details in front of us. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, certainly there is a risk, but I think Scott Andrews said it well when he said this is the best path towards, not necessarily his words, solvency for the Coliseum. I mean, the risk of doing nothing ensures us of retaining the rights to a further degraded building to, I don't know how many of you have been there beyond at graduations, but the sporting events, but it has been characterized by me that by those who know a lot more about hockey than I do, that it's an embarrassing facility to have hockey games in. And so that's what we're stuck with now. Jack and Scott and the mayor have been working on is what are you going to do about the facility to not only replace worn-out infrastructure, but to actually improve